Welcome to another episode of Driving with J9. I'm Janine van der Post, and today in studio we have Willem Tenran. He's the brand manager at Roller Volvo in Sumser West.
Morning, Janine. Nice to be here with you guys.
How are you doing?
I'm good.
Thank you so much for making the trek all the way on the N2 from Sumser West.
It was a trek, yeah. But it was worth it.
I'm glad. So EVs or electric vehicles are still quite a controversial topic here, yes. Especially in South Africa, especially because people say, you know, we use dirty energy to charge vehicles and also how they are manufactured and the batteries and all of that. But I think that's a discussion for another day, because ideally want to talk about charging, how it works, and just, you know, are more people interested in it? And the funny thing is that Ford Motor Company, of all manufacturers, has done a survey recently. And I think they have one EV, the Mustang, the EMA.
Yes. And also the one of their Buckies.
Yes. I think it's still hybrid. Oh, yeah. They do have the electric Bucky overseas as well. And even though they've said that the electric Mustangs are coming to South Africa this year, they've still done a survey, and they found that 40% of those people who took the survey said that they would want to buy an EV within the next 5 years. And that's quite a big number.
It is.
So have you seen a change in people's perceptions coming into the dealership? Is there a bigger interest in them, and why would you think so?
EVs are getting cheaper. You're getting further, better range, yeah, better quality, etc. And so the perception is still difficult. People that have not been exposed to hybrid or driven an electric car, they're very intimidated by it. And I tell people there's nothing to be intimidated by. You mustn't compare it to your car. You must compare it to your cell phone.
Yeah.
All the questions they ask, I refer back to how do you use your cell phone?
Yeah.
And we'll touch on certain topics. It's the clients that drive them never wants to go back. They say it's the best driving experience. It's smooth. It's more powerful. And this is yet another thing that people don't realize. People think electric cars are slow, but they're more powerful than normal combustion cars. They've got cheaper running costs. Yeah. I mean, a lot of our clients, and we'll touch on load shedding later on, a lot of clients put in solar because of load shedding.
Yeah.
And if load shedding is still there or not, they've got surplus power.
Yeah.
So instead of putting it back into the grid for the minimal funds you'll receive, they say, I want an EV because I can put my additional power into the car and I can drive around for free.
Yeah.
And I've actually done these calculations on the EX30 that's at a better price point with these cheaper running costs. Now you can compare to a similarly priced petrol or diesel car.
Right.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the load shedding thing, because we haven't had load shedding now for more than 300 days.
Touch wood.
So the first thing people say when I speak to them about EVs, or if I'm driving one and they approach me, and they're like, but how does it work and how do you charge it? And we can't have EVs because, you know, we have an energy crisis, or we still have load shedding, even though we really haven't for a while.
Yeah.
And we might not I don't want to jinx anything, but yeah, like people just can't get past that. So how do you get past that?
Once again, and this touches on the same principle as they're asking the wrong questions. Mm. So let's look at it. If you use a fuel car, when do you fill it up? When it's on a quarter tank, almost empty, and then you fill it up?
Probably once a week.
Exactly. Mm. How often do you charge your phone?
Probably 2 days or every day sometimes.
Yeah, when your phone gets older, you need to charge it every night. Do you wait for it to deplete to 10% and then go and find a plug? No, you get home, personally, when I get into bed, go to sleep, I plug it in the morning, I unplug it, and I've got a phone for the day.
Yeah.
So it's literally the same. So realistically, the range of the EX30, the twin motor performance that you drive, it's got a range of about 380. Now, there's a lot of factors involved, but let's work on 380 kilometers. Now, the average daily drive or the higher, on the higher side in Cape Town, personally, I stay in northern suburbs, work in Somerset West. I do about 100 kilometers a day. Northern suburbs to Cape Town and back, 100 a day. So bringing in load shedding, you can drive 4 days without any charging. So even if you've got stage 6 load shedding, you get home, you plug it in, you're home for at least 10 hours, 12 hours, even if you just get 3 or 4 hours of charging, you'll be able to use it. And then if you see, okay, there's too much load shedding, then you can just top it up at a public charging station.
Right.
So I've done the calculations. It does, it will work. People just don't know, how it works and to work around it. Also, now you'll say, but what if I'm going to the West Coast or to George or on a longer journey?
Yeah.
Well, in the beginning, when there was only one EV on the market, and as far as I know, it's only the i3 because they were quite popular, the infrastructure is very expensive and your return on that infrastructure you can only get when cars are charging.
Yeah.
So as we sell more EVs, so the interest is there to build more infrastructure because now people seeing it as a revenue stream.
Yeah.
So in the beginning, the first route that they opened up was from Joburg to Cape Town.
Yeah.
At Swellendam, there was one. And then from here to George, I think that was the only one for years.
Yes.
Now there is, I wrote it down here, on the route to Mossel Bay, you've got one at Woestermoor. You've got one at Buffalo Yas River in Swellendam, Heidelberg, Riversdale, and Mossel Bay.
Yeah.
And you know what? The distance from, say, northern suburbs to there is only 370 kilometers. So if you're driving very economically at 100 kilometers per hour, because that's the best efficiency, you don't even need to charge.
Yeah.
But we all like to drive the speed limit and overtake a slow truck, so your efficiency is going a bit down. Once again, the concept, then people ask, how long does it take to charge? Well, you only need 10 or 15 minutes on any one of those charges.
Yeah.
Then you reach there. So you don't need to sit there for 30 minutes or even an hour. And on a personal note, I always say in the in my lifetime, life has gotten so fast.
Yeah.
We're doing 10 times more in at the same time.
Yeah.
Is it going to hurt to slow down for 10 minutes?
Sure. It's funny you say you mentioned all those charges because we went to Honiston not too long ago.
Yeah.
I wasn't driving an EV, but then at the back of the Honiston hotel, and I mean, Honiston is a place where there's just that hotel and everything else revolves
and
around
an EV charger.
There are two, mind you, and fast chargers, not just slow chargers.
Yes.
I was so surprised. And I mean, people don't even know that.
No.
So I could easily drive till there if I had an EV and just charge, plug in overnight.
Well, on the last leave that I took, we went to an Airbnb, off-grid, solar-powered chalet on a farm close to Swellendam. I went not with a full EV, but a plug-in hybrid.
Yeah.
And I plugged in the car.
Nice.
I couldn't get a full charge because of it's just off-grid and the batteries didn't cater for that. But I could get half a charge. I could get 30, 40 kilometers literally out of the sun being there just for a day.
That's crazy.
If you and once again, so we'll get to the charging times, but don't ask if a client asks how long does it take to charge? Well, it depends where you charge, at home or at a public charging station. Are you then on DC or AC? But it's very easy.
Yeah.
If you go away to a holiday house or to friends or to Airbnb and there's a plug there, you drive there, you plug it in, you're there for the weekend.
Mm.
You don't drive up and down the whole time, and it slowly charges. Mm. Then it can take up to about 40 hours, but you're there for the weekend. Suddenly you've got a full car.
Mm.
So you don't even have to stop at a public charging station. Yeah. And that's the versatility is you can literally plug into any three-prong plug.
Yeah.
So if you get stuck in an area where there's no public charging, you can just stop at a shop or any place to ask for help. Just plan better.
But let's talk about how EV should be charged. Most electric vehicles will recommend or tell you only charge until 80 or 90%. I know like on the Volvo, it recommends to 90% daily for daily driving and then 100% for long trips.
Yes.
Tell me a little bit about that and so why you shouldn't charge it to 100% every time we charge. Yes.
So, not sure if you know this, but even on your phone, there's a battery conservation setting to charge it only up to 80 or 90%. So once again, the link is there to something we use every day and everyone has, same principle applies. Okay. And this for the same reasons, actually. So like your phone, as I said, you get home, you've done your 100 kilometers, which is plus minus 20-25% of your full battery capacity, you plug it in. If you only go to work and back, you only charge it for Volvo, recommends up to 90%. Mm. There's a limit you can set either on the car or on your phone app. So you also don't need to go to your car to change the limit. If you change your plans for tomorrow, you can do it from the convenience of your phone anywhere in the world. Then they also recommend not to deplete the battery below 20% if not needed. Once again, these are guidelines between 20 and 90% to use it between those parameters for best optimal battery conservation.
Yeah.
Obviously, you can go down to the not 0%, but lower, and you can fully charge if you need to. Just before we get to why not to 100%, slow charging is better.
Okay.
It's like pouring a Coke, a fizzy drink.
Right.
You're trying to fill this thing up.
Mm.
So it's the last bit fills up slower because of the gas.
Yeah.
If you pour it fast, you know, so slow charging is better. Only use DC charging when you're on the open road.
Okay.
Why not charge to 100%? So in technical terms, once again, same as your phone's battery. And have you felt your phone get hot?
Yes.
Not on wireless charging. Mm. That's something else, but charging it on a cable.
Yeah.
Okay. So heat is bad for a battery and also very cold temperatures.
Mm.
So what happens between 90 and 100%? The resistance in the battery increases. When the resistance increases, your heat increase.
Mm.
And heat is bad for the battery. So that's why they say don't charge it over where this resistance increases and the battery gets hot. Because that's bad.
That leads me to asking you now, because I haven't thought about this, but like it's been extremely hot in Cape Town. February's going to be... is usually the hottest month in South Africa. What do you recommend then? And what happens to EVs when there are heat waves or extreme heat?
In South Africa, we are actually within the nominal operating temperature range.
Okay.
I'm not 100% sure. I'll get the details. But we don't go really below zero.
Yeah.
And I'm talking more in the city centers now. And we don't go as high as, say, in Dubai or in some of your eastern countries. So our 90% of the time, we are in the perfect operating range. What do they do? Because now you can say, but in Gauteng, we do get some minuses more often. So what happens is they're actually building it into our new Google update, because we've got Google installed on the cars. One of the first brands to do Google integration. So when you select a charger to navigate to through the car, The car will already pre-condition your battery to get it at the right temperature. Because when you plug into a DC charging station and the temperature of the battery is too cold, right? To not damage the battery, the car first needs to heat it up and then it can take the full capacity of the charge.
That reminds me of, remember when there's a very fast charger at Somerset Mall?
Yes.
And at first I couldn't charge the EX30.
Yes.
It would say it would charge and then I'd walk away and then it would stop charging.
Yeah.
I know you said something about that because of the preconditioning of the battery. It couldn't maybe handle.
That could also have been, I know, look, there's a lot of IT software and tech behind this.
Yeah.
So on an interesting note, when you DC charge, direct charge, you bypass the onboard charge on the car. So the brains is now the charging station.
Right.
And what I've experienced the same at Tiger Valley is when these stations are newly installed, and also we experienced it by our charging station, is they need to set this thing up in their software. And I actually spoke to Grid Cars on the one at Tiger Valley. I told them, guys, I experienced the same as you. And they said, we know about it. There's a new software update. And then it worked. Preconditioning, if the temperature is too low, so will only delay when it's taking ramping up that charging current that it's accepting. Yeah. And then, sorry, for the heat side, in any electric and hybrid car, you'll see a lot of cooling, extra radiators. And I know, especially with the Volvo, you've got a whole cooling system around the battery. So that's what also, I don't know if you've noticed, if you charge your car, you'll hear fans going on. That is your radiators to cool the battery.
But tell me, I've also noticed that other customers use the charger at Roller City. Most dealers who sell electric vehicles will have a charger at the dealership.
Yes.
But you guys are different because you can use your credit card instead of
A Grid Cars or a Rubicon or something card. Exactly. So there's a lot of reasons for it, but this actually opens up another topic. People always ask, where can I charge my car? So the plug system, physically, any EV in South Africa can charge at any station. It's the payment method that is different.
Okay.
So with certain stations, let's take Tiger Valley, you can not use a credit or debit card or cash. You do need to have a registered Grid Cars or Rubicon card, and that works on a prepaid system. We opted to not go for that, to actually cover a bigger base of clients, and to say our one works only with credit or debit card, not these prepaid cards. So even think about it, if you're borrowing a car or doing a longer demo for a couple of days, you don't have a registered card or an account, so then you can also use the charger.
Yeah. And I've also noticed that more customers are charging their cars at the dealership, and customers that live within close proximity.
What I've picked up is usually before they've installed their own chargers at home or at the beginning where you still have that bit of a range anxiety, because I'm thinking back of one specific client now and I haven't seen him there ever since. Yeah. In the beginning, he was there every second day.
Yeah.
Then he got his charger installed and it was always, I'm going to Cape Town. I need to come and charge full now.
Shame, man.
So I think it's a lot with once you see the convenience of charging at home and once you get comfortable in the car, you trust it, you see that it works with range just as a normal petrol or diesel car, and then you never want to go back.
Yeah.
So you never need to go to a public place if you just do local driving, you're filling up at home.
I mean, range anxiety is something that's very real as well. I know in the beginning when I first started driving EVs, I would say to myself, even if there was a range of like 400 Ks, I wouldn't even, my husband said, can't we go to Mama's Spring because we go there almost every weekend. And I would say, no, man, it's, of course, I'm going to make it all. Now it's like, once you understand the range and how the battery works and how much you can get out, it makes a world of difference. Yeah. Now I can easily drive there and back, and then there's still range to drive another day or two.
Exactly.
So,
but can I ask you from a more consumer point of view, why did you have range anxiety? Was it because of intimidation by technology, not knowing, not understanding, thinking it's more complicated? Or why did you have the car told you can go 400 kilometers? Yeah. So
I think for some reason you think like, I don't know, it's like when you're driving a petrol or diesel car, the further you drive, you're going to like, oh, I'm going to have to top up somewhere or whatever. And I think it was that mentality. Also, even now, there are still no charges in Mama's Mini.
Yeah.
But I think the biggest factor there is infrastructure, and that there weren't maybe a lot of charges on the way. Like even with me, before that fast charger in Jamestown at the little shopping center there, and before your one, and before the one at the mall, and before the ones at
Sitadina. That all happened in the last year.
Exactly.
Yes.
Before that, I was driving, there was only the government public charger, which you could only use during the municipality hours. So after three, you can't charge.
Yeah.
Weekends, they don't open the gate because it's locked up, so you couldn't charge.
Yeah.
And then before this one, there was only the one nearly in Jamestown, which is about a 17-kilometer drive from my house. And then it says, because that's on Google and everybody now knows about it, whenever you go there, there are people charging.
Yes.
So the one at Motor City has been my saving grace whenever I drive an EV.
And nice coffee.
And nice coffee too.
It's always nice to see you there.
I know. I do like coming there. But the thing is, it's definitely infrastructure. And where they are judged. So I'm really glad that a lot of people still don't know about the one there. But I'm sure that's going to change.
And there will be more popping up. Maybe if we get more people, they will put up another one.
And that's just the thing. Even at shopping centers now, if you look, you might not even know. But I mean, even Sitadi has two. I went to Brackenfell the other day. There were three at like
AC, on the side AC of the mall. Chargers.
But even still, if you're going to be in the mall for an hour or two, that little bit makes a difference.
Just a hint, for people looking at EVs, you get different charging times on, because those ones that you mentioned now at the malls, the small ones, AC, those ones charge depending on what the car can take. And like the model you're driving has got a 22 kilowatt hour, 22 kilowatt onboard charger. On one of those public AC charging stations, you can charge your car from 10 to 90% in 3 hours.
Wow.
So let's say you do shopping and have a coffee for an hour, hour and a half. You can get a 50% charge and it's not even DC. So you're not... Also, it's the good charge. It's the slow charge.
Let's talk cost a little bit because we haven't touched on that. First, if you buy an EV, how much is the wall box, the charger? What do you get if you're buying an electric vehicle to be able to charge at home? And then also, what does it cost to charge at home?
Okay. So some of the, if I just talk Volvo now, our XC40 and C40 range, that is over R1 million. There you get a wall box charger for free included in the deal. You must just pay for installation. Installation at home can cost you between 2,000 and 6,000 rand if you install it close to your DB. Then on our EX30 models because of the pricing and because you now are starting to trade in EVs on EVs, so everyone doesn't need a charger now. The charger is excluded. The Volvo charger cost about 25,000-26,000 Rand, but there's also a wide variety of chargers out there that is cheaper, that gives you different, caters for different needs. The cost at home, a petrol and a diesel car, let's first compare, because sometimes people will comment and say, that car is very heavy on fuel. Then I'll ask them, so what do you get on your car? And they don't know. So it's a lot to break down these perceptions. So I've calculated more or less the average. If you're charging at home, taking 3 rand 30 plus minus per kilowatt hour, you're looking at about 60 cents a kilometer. So even if you drive the most fuel efficient car that you can get down to around 20, you're already at 50%. When you DC charge, the average rate is about 7 rand a kilowatt hour, because they need to now also pay off the capital and it's for the infrastructure. Then you're taking it back up to around 20.
Yeah. I mean, just thinking back with when I charge, it's the car's usually over 20% when I come, and I'll charge till 90%. So I've been spending about 300 to 350 rand, which is still cheaper than filling your car with a tank of fuel for the week.
Yes.
Yeah, it is. Absolutely. And then the last thing I want to talk about is battery life. Because I think that's also still a big thing that sways people from not buying EVs, is because those batteries are only supposed to last 8 years. Yes. So what happens? You've now had your EV for 8 years and the battery needs to be replaced. It's, you know, like the cost is the biggest issue because it's expensive. But how does it work? And do you replace the battery? And is it under warranty? What costs are you looking at?
What is the warranty on most combustion engine cars? Our ones are 5 years, 100,000.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that the engine's going to go at 100,000. Yes, there are certain cars giving you a million kilometer warranty, but that's only for the first owner. So if the couple of owners keeping them for a million kilometers, they can afford to replace anything on there. So people must just keep that in mind. So our warranty, and most of the EV warranties are about 8 years. Our one is 8 years, 160,000.
Okay.
If your battery state of health goes below 70%, Volvo will replace your battery or free of charge. And we'll get into more of the details on that. So that is what the warranty covers. Secondly, how many people keep their car for longer than 3 years on average? It's got an 8-year warranty. So this can cover three clients. By that time, then you can extend the warranty. There will be warranty options. So it once again compares with engine cars. There's some manufacturers and certain cars that the engine, something breaks, either the gearbox or something in the engine, or a complete engine within warranty, or just out of warranty. Same principle. So in an electric car, your battery or your battery pack is your engine.
Right.
If you're looking at cost. On the EX30 that you're driving, the one you know, it's got a 69 kilowatt hour battery. It consists of three battery modules.
Okay.
Battery banks.
Right.
And in total, there's 107 cells in all three. But the smallest part of the battery that you can replace if it's faulty is the three modules. One module costs about 78,000 Rand. So if you need to replace all three, it will cost 235,000 Rand. But what does a engine, a gearbox, a turbo, and a supercharger cost to replace? Same principle.
Exactly.
So, and most cars, as we just said, only has a 100,000 kilometer warranty. So you actually have better coverage on an EV. So, and also with time going on, I think the internal combustion engine, there's only so much more they can do to perfect it. And I don't think they can get the cost down more than they have. Yeah. We're only in the beginning of battery technology. Mm. And where engines is only used in mobile things.
Yeah.
Batteries are used in almost everything we touch.
Yeah.
So the technology is going forward in a very quick way.
Thank you so much, Willem.
Are we done? I'm just getting into this.
Thanks so much for your time and for all the insights. So nice. I think you've definitely answered a lot of questions and a lot of things that people wonder about. So that's it for today's episode. Thanks for joining us with Diving with Jana.